Psalm 119, verse 90 says that his faithfulness endures to all generations. In other words, there's no ending to his faithfulness. So, church, I just want to take a moment. Can we just do that? Can we just express our thankfulness, our gratitude, our love to him who has been faithful to each and every one of us in every storm, and as his word says, endures to all generations. Can we just do that? Let's just take a moment. I'll just encourage you. Let's just say it out loud. Speak it out loud. Praise your Savior that way. Father, we just give you praise. We thank you. We verbalize it. We say it out loud. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness in our lives, your faithfulness in our families, your faithfulness in our careers and our jobs, your faithfulness through all the situations, God. You are faithful. We thank you, Jesus. Sustaining power that you give us, Father. Provision that you provide, God. Lord, you are faithful, faithful. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Worthy are you to be praised this morning. Worthy are you to be praised. Father, we ask, Lord, this morning that you would just be glorified in this place. That, Lord, that your name would reign. And, Lord, as we reflect upon and we celebrate the story of Palm Sunday, your entry into the city of Jerusalem and the cries of Hosanna ringing out. Lord, just like what it says in Matthew, let us, like the city was stirred, let us be stirred this morning. Holy Spirit, stir our hearts this morning to reflect upon the need for you, Jesus. They cried out, Hosanna, not fully knowing and understanding the depth of that. Let us not be like them. Let us understand. Let us come to terms with our need for you as our Savior. Jesus, we pray. Bless this morning. Bless those that are sick in body, aren't able to be here. Those that might be here that have been, it's a struggle, but God, bless them, keep them. That faithfulness that we're thankful for, let it continue upon them. Father, let us be recipients, God, of your faithfulness, your mercy this morning, but let us then again be doers, doers of your word. Father, we just pray and commit this morning to you that, Lord, you would be glorified in every way. We thank you, we praise you, and we ask this in the strong name of Jesus, the name above all names. Everybody said, amen, amen. Let's just give a praise offering to the Lord right now. Would you do that for me? Come on now. It feels good to worship in the house of the Lord, doesn't it, church? Before you're seated, greet one another, love on one another. It's so good to see all of you smiling faces this morning, and I'm excited as we engage today as Palm Sunday, and we're heading into Passion Week and Holy Week. And so I pray, our prayer for you as a pastoral team, you can bring it out, Dan, when you get it, pastoral staff, that you have a great week of remembering and reflecting. And there's a couple announcements that I'm going to just go through real quick, but I just do want to, thank you, sir, want to make sure that I introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors along with my wife, Christine. I want to welcome you this morning. We're so thankful that you're here. If you're joining us online, thank you for being with us. We always like to hear, or not hear, see where you're joining us from. So I always encourage people to do that and put that in the comment thread. But again, if this is your first time here, we would love to connect with you. I would love to meet you. I would love to speak with you. But one of the easiest ways that we can connect is simply by, if you take your phone and you just open up the camera on your digital device and you scan the QR code, that's in right in front of you. If you're in the building, it's right in front of you on the pew. You can see that little QR code. It's on the physical copy bulletins. If you walked into the house and you're sitting in here and you got a bulletin as you walked in, it's on that as well. And that's just our digital connection. It's if you're the first time here, we want to make sure that we want to get to know you, touch base with you, and that'll open up a little text thread that you can text back and forth, and that we can communicate with you easy, and it's just a great way. And if you do that, if you're in the house, we want to bless you as well. And so if you just take that, show our VIP center right out in the lobby, if you just show them that little thread or that you've done that, what they want to do is they want to give you a little gift box that we prepared for you. It's just a simple way of just blessing, honoring, and just loving on you. It's got some chocolates, because I know that speaks love, I guess. I don't know. Maybe dark chocolate, probably, because that's healthier for you. So, but it also has a Chick-fil-A gift card, because that's the Lord's chicken. And we want to bless you in that way, because it's blessed and it's holy that way. So, I kid. But, hey, I would love for you to connect with us. That's just the best way, an easy way. I want to give a shout-out. And I want to personally say, this is coming from Pastor Mike, so y'all hear me, okay? Thank you for each and every one of you who came these last 3 days and helped clean our building. It looks, it smells fantastic. And I just want to say personally, for all of those that have helped in any way, shape, or form, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, and I know I can speak for Pastor Christine, I know I can speak for Pastor Brad, Nicole, Pastor Amber as well. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. What a privilege it is to serve with and alongside the body of Christ and to do something. This is a pretty big building, y'all. I can say that my back is a little bit better today. Thursday, I was out power washing outside, and by Friday and Saturday especially, to do this, like just to bend over a little bit, that was pretty difficult. And I'm feeling a lot better today, but I just want to say thank you, because I think if you walked in today, I think you could see, smell, and notice the difference. Amen? What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you for each and every one of you that have helped in that way. Hey, I want to encourage you this week. We got a busy week, actually. This week is, there's a lot going on, and that's why we've cleaned the house in that way. This week, starting Wednesday night, this is the first Wednesday. We turn the calendar into April. It's crazy that we're already here, but this Wednesday night is what we call First Wednesday, and we gather together to celebrate fellowship with a meal. And so 6 o'clock, can I invite you and encourage you to come and be a part of our 6 o'clock meal? And then at 7 o'clock, we just transition right into all of our small groups that are taking place. So that's going to start this Wednesday. We're going to do pizza. We're going to do salad right at 6 o'clock, right out here in our lobby, in our foyer area. And so be a part of it, just as a great time of fellowship, fun to get together, and then be a part of our small group starting at 7. And then we're going to go right, this is Holy Week, this is Passion Week. We're going to be right back here in the worship center on Friday, as I would invite and encourage each and every one of you to join us as we celebrate and remember. It's kind of a weird thing to say, that we celebrate the death of Jesus on the cross. But we're going to come together, and we're going to share with one another. We're going to share communion, and we're going to have the elements, and we're going to have a time of reflection. And it's a powerful time of just remembering and to reflect upon what Jesus chose to do for you and for me. And he chose to do that willingly. And so could I just challenge and encourage you, be a part of that, 7 p.m., right back here, Good Friday. We'll have the nursery and the preschool open for parents, that you can go in there, because the live stream will be on and you can watch, but we will not man the nursery and the preschool. So kids have a place to go if they need some wiggles and to get out those wiggles and are high energy, and so you can feel free to go back and take them. You have to stay with them, obviously. but take them back into the nursery and preschool, and we'll have the elements provided back there as well. So I'm just excited for that. And can you believe that we are now 1 week away from Easter Sunday? And I stood up here January 11th, I think it was, and I said, man, Pastor Brad and Nicole will be back, and it's going to feel like it's going to pass by in a blink of an eye. And guess what? I was right. Yeah, I was right. I was totally right. Because it has just flown by. And so we're excited to, number one, celebrate the Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. We're going to celebrate Christ rising from the dead and redeeming our law. And it's just going to be a great, great Sunday of celebration. But on top of that, as if you can do anything more on top of that, we're excited to celebrate Pastor Brad and Nicole's return. So could I encourage you certainly to be in the house Easter Sunday, certainly to celebrate for what it means for all of us as believers in Christ, and then the added bonus of getting to celebrate Pastor Brad and Nicole's return. Can I encourage you, there's invite cards. If you notice as you walk into the main our main entrance, there's a sign that says, good day, good morning, welcome, something like that. But on the other side, as you leave, it says, invite a friend. And there's little cards that we've provided for you. Grab a whole bunch. I want to run out. I want to run out of these, right? Grab a whole bunch and then pass those out. And then come early next Sunday. Come early. Coffee will be ready. We'll have donuts, right? None of that's going to change. But come early and fellowship with the body of Christ and what it means to be saved and redeemed in Christ. Amen. Can we do that this next Sunday? I'm excited for that. So again, join us. And if you have any questions, reach out to us. We'll answer any of those questions. But what a busy week. So be a part of it, church. I'm excited this morning, too. We have a guest here. And he's no guest, I feel like. He's known to many of us. He's known to myself and Christine. And many of you probably know Dan and Marcia Deem. So again, I would encourage you. Thank you, sir. I want to make sure that we're hydrated, too. So I would love for Cross Point Church to welcome Pastor Dan Deem to the pulpit this morning. Would you join me in welcoming Pastor Dan?
Thank you, Pastor Mike. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. Really good to see you today. And I want to say it's a real honor to be with you. And it is true, Mike, that Marcia and I, we know so many of the folks that are here. And I would call you by name, but then I forget somebody because I can't remember like I used to. But it's an honor, and I just want to thank Mike and Christine just for their friendship, but also the way that they've just worked in this church while Pastor Brad's been in sabbatical. And I heard from many that you guys are really doing a super job there. And for Pastor Brad and Nicole, hoping they can get all the rest that they need and get the direction that they need. And I want to honor you as a church. You know, I pastored, 40-plus years, 30 of those in Louisville. And we were able to go on sabbatical once upon a time. And the church body was stronger when I was gone than when I was here. Isn't that kind of crazy? And we had, people just felt ownership. This is my church. And I want you to know, you talked about the church being clean. And Marcia whispered it in my ear, and she said, this place looks great. Okay, so whoever did that, God bless you. And everyone, this is your church. And you serve and you honor the Lord by serving one another. So that's really super. I want to introduce my wife, Marcia. Marcia, stand, please. Yay, Marcia. We've been married almost 48 years, and she's been driving me nuts that whole time. We love each other. We have fun together. We still like each other, and we're enjoying our retirement, although I've been asked to speak every now and then, but I just am, again, thankful to be here. I love this church. I have many memories here. And when I was a boy growing up, I grew up at Louisville Assembly of God, First Assembly, and we did not have a water baptismal tank. So Pastor Graber was so kind. Many of you, I think, still know Pastor Graber. We needed a water baptism tank, and he opened up the church one Sunday afternoon. And many of us from Louisville came over, and I was one of those that was water baptized right in this church, and it just means a lot to me. Also in this church, back in the day when I was in high school, Louisville got together with what was Bethel Temple, and we played basketball against each other. Any of you remember those days playing basketball against Louisville? Nobody remembers? Okay, we beat you guys. You know, if you don't remember, this story, you know, goes by the speaker. But we just had fun. And Pastor Graber was out there playing basketball along with my pastor, Jerry Hall. And their faces just beat red. They're just giving everything they have. And as a teenager, I just loved seeing Pastor Graber, Pastor Hall. They were just being real people. And that's what pastors are. They're just real people that have a call of God to do this. And they were just really serving. And our churches together had a friendly competition. And I remember in the hallway at Louisville, there was big posters that had our attendance and Bethel Temple attendance on a weekly basis. And it wasn't just this, you know, competition, but it was really to see souls won for the kingdom. And so the way we challenged each other, our different churches, that was really pretty great. And as I was pastoring in Louisville, we were getting ready to start a building program, and Pastor Graber, I sat with him, and he gave me such great advice, just a lot of wisdom on how to do that. And I remember he said, never set a finished date. He said, it's like a ball and chain. And I always remembered that, and that was back in 96 when we began one of those projects there in Louisville, but that was just really helpful. And then Pastor Brad and I, we sat down several times over coffee and just talking and getting to know each other just learning how to pray for one another. And I really stretched Pastor Brad. When I called him up, I said, hey, I'll meet you for coffee at McDonald's on Cleveland Avenue. And there was like a gasp. And he showed up and he said, I haven't been to McDonald's in years having coffee. He said, this is just really stretching me today. So if you ever want to mess with him, offer him McDonald's coffee. That'd be really good. But about a year ago, Marcia and I were, as retired, we were going to our various churches in the East Central area. And we attended this church. We sat right back over here. Man, we really enjoyed it. We really did. And, you know, you try not to take notes and be critical, I should say, but we left the church that day and we said, you know, if we were looking for a church, we would come back here and try this again. And I feel that way this morning. You guys, the worship team, you guys, I don't know if you understand how blessed you are. This worship team really did a super job this morning. Yeah, good job. Just experienced the real presence of the Lord. Well, many of you in this church, I've known for a long time, and as I mentioned earlier, I don't want to call names because I'd miss somebody, but one of you I have known since I was 4 months old, and my cousin Becky Barong is here, my first cousin, and I probably just totally embarrassed her this morning, and I hope I don't embarrass her by standing up here today, but Becky is just a great, if you don't know Becky and her husband Dave, you need to get to know them. They're just fabulous, and I've known Becky my entire life, of course. I'm 4 months older than she is, I've never heard anyone ever say anything bad about her, ever. Which is really a kind of amazing, so she's just a sweet woman of God, my cousin. So anyhow, to the scriptures. We're here to see the scriptures today, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. And Mike and Christine both were reading my text this morning, but I'm going to read it again in just a moment. But in Matthew chapter 21, we're going to address this topic today. The greatest question ever asked. The greatest question ever asked. And we're going to be looking at that in Matthew 21. And if you would bear with me, I want to read these first 11 verses talking about Palm Sunday. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, and talking about the prophet Zechariah here, verse 5. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches. Those are palm branches. That's Palm Sunday. They cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, as Mike was saying, the whole city was stirred, and then they asked the greatest question ever asked. Who is this? It's a great question. We're going to answer that today. Who is this? And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Who is this? Well, what can we learn from Palm Sunday? I recognize that, I'm just assuming that many of you have been in church for a number of years. You've heard sermons on Palm Sunday every one of those years. I'm not teaching you anything new, but I want us to be reminded of the significance of this day. So what can we learn from Palm Sunday? Why all the fuss? What's the attention? What's going on? Now, we have to remember that we're looking back at history. We know all this because of time and the scriptures. These people were living the moment. This is something brand new to them. They're trying to figure out who Jesus really is. What is this man all about? This is something new to them in this Jewish city that they're living in. What is going on here? Who is this man? Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday today? What's the significance? You know, God doesn't do things just to do them. He has a reason. He has a purpose, and we're going to see what that is. So what can we learn from Palm Sunday? First of all, Jesus is worthy of praise. Never forget that. Jesus is worthy of praise. Verse number 9 in our text. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were giving Jesus praise. Now, here's a question. Have you ever attended the Hall of Fame parade right here in Canton? Let me see your hands. Yeah, okay. The first time that I went to this parade was 1971. And my brother Steve picked me up to go to the parade. Steve was a great big brother, or is a great big brother. We got up early. We stopped for donuts because you can't go to the parade without donuts. You know that's true, right? Matter of fact, some of you can't even come to church without donuts. I noticed that this morning. Donuts are really important. We found our spot along the route, and we waited. And then we waited, and then we waited. And then after a while, it all began to happen. We began to hear the commotion. We begin to hear the sirens. We begin to hear people shouting. And sure enough, along the route that morning, 1971, came Vince Lombardi. You might recognize that name. Y.A. Tittle. Norm Van Brocklin. And then my favorite came along, Jim Brown. And they came, and Steve and I were shouting. We're just being crazy and just, you know, just doing the whole thing. In a very small measure, that's what it was like in Jerusalem that day. The man was coming. Jesus was coming. They didn't fully understand him yet. They're trying to figure it out. But here comes Jesus on the streets of Jerusalem. It was unlike, up to that point, unlike any other day in history. This kind of thing never happened before. Jesus came riding into the streets, and he was recognizing himself as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords above everybody else. And how did this happen?
Where did it all come from? What led up to this? Well, let's back up just 3 years. Jesus, at 30 years old, young man, just getting started in ministry. Was a carpenter, and now he's going into ministry. And he walked into the temple. He picked up the scroll, which he wasn't supposed to do. Only priests could do that. But he is telling everybody who he was. Okay, he's 30 years old. And he begins to read from the prophet Isaiah. And we find what he read in Luke chapter 4. Let me just read this to you. In verse number 18, Jesus read this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he closed the scroll. He set it down. He went and sat down. And then he said to everybody, today in your presence, this scripture has been fulfilled. Jesus, at the age of 30, was proclaiming himself to be the Messiah, because he was reading about the coming of Messiah in Isaiah there. So he was calling himself the Messiah, which is really pretty interesting here. He called himself the Messiah, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Teacher, the Good Shepherd, the Way, the Truth, the Life. He brought all of this attention to himself over the days. And we have to ask ourselves, and they had to ask themselves, because they can't go back in history. They were living history. And they were saying, is this who he says he is? Is this man who he says he is? Or is he just a crazy man? You know, some of you might remember the boxer Muhammad Ali. Remember his great statement? He would hold up, I am the greatest. He lost 5 times. I am the greatest. Well, Jesus is basically saying that. He's saying, I am the one. I'm the one you need to turn to. I'm the Messiah. This is what he was saying, and they had to figure out at that time, is this really what he was talking about? So he was seen walking on water. He put tax money in the mouth of a fish. Man, I wish he would do that today. Thursday, I went fishing at Monument Park. They released the trout. And I went over to Monument Park, and I got my first fish of the year. And I looked in the mouth. There was no money. It was kind of nasty in there. I just want you to know that. But I just wish the Lord would do that. But he did that. He even raised the dead. But more importantly, this man, Jesus, they're trying to figure out who he is. He said he could forgive sin. Now, that was blasphemy. Nobody could forgive sin. No man could forgive sin. But Jesus just wasn't an ordinary man, was he? We're looking back. They're trying to figure it out. So he said he could forgive sin. So who is this man? And now, on Palm Sunday, at the age of 33, he did something totally out of nature. For the past 3 years, he did not draw attention to himself. He always pointed to the Father. As a matter of fact, when people begin to figure out who he was, he just told them, hey, for right now, would you just keep quiet? I still want to have the freedom to preach. I just need you to be focused on the Father. Everything was toward the Father. But today was different. Today changed everything. And in Jerusalem, on that particular day, that was the beginning of this great celebration of Passover that Pastor Mike talked about. We're moving into Holy Week here. It was the Passover celebration that the Jews celebrated every year since the days of Moses. It was a day of deliverance. It was a day of forgiveness. It was a day of sacrifice for sin. And coincidentally, this was a day that the priest, the high priest, would select the sacrifice lamb that was going to be slain for the sins of all the people. Do you think it was a coincidence that Jesus showed up the day they selected the sacrifice lamb? I don't think so. Jesus did everything in the right time. And he was riding into the city saying, you've been sacrificing this lamb since the days of Moses to forgive your sin. But he said, now I am going to be the sacrifice lamb. I am the one. I am the one that's going to forgive sin. And he's saying this right now. So on this day, interesting, he told two of his disciples, hey, I want two of you. He named them, I don't know the names. He named the two of them, and he said, I want you to go to the neighbors over there and take their donkey. How would you like that assignment? I don't want that assignment. They're going to call the cops, okay? And he said, but if they say anything, just say that the Lord needs them. So sure enough, when we put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John together and get the whole story, two of them went, and sure enough, the owner of those donkeys says, hey, what are you guys doing stealing my donkey? And they said, nah, the Lord needs it. And he said, okay. And they took this donkey. And it was so interesting here because Jesus was going to ride into town. How strange to me anyhow. Jesus never rode anywhere. He rode in a boat a few times, but he walked everywhere he went. He didn't ride donkeys or horses. At least we don't have any record of it in the scripture. But today he was going to ride into town. And he was going to ride on a donkey. And I do some research just trying to figure out why a donkey. A donkey in the Old Testament was a symbol of a king coming as the king of peace. If he was going to come as a warrior at that time, he would be riding a stallion, but he was riding a donkey. Now get this, this donkey was never ridden on before. And what did Jesus do? He just got right on this donkey, and it just shows us that he tamed the donkey. He has authority over nature. He has authority over all creation, and he rode on this donkey that was never ridden on before, and I dare any of you to try that. Okay, that just won't go good, okay? But Jesus did it. It was perfect timing. The city was filled with visitors from all over the known world at that time to celebrate the Passover. I don't know where this number came from, but it was estimated from my studies that 2.9 million people were in the streets that day. That's a lot of people in a small town back then, with Jerusalem. As Jesus approached the city, one of the Gospels says that he was up above and he's looking down and he sees the multitude, 2.9 million people. And you know the story that Jesus was there and he looked over the city and he began to weep. And the Bible says that he began to see the whole city and he saw all the crowds and like they were sheep without a shepherd. And why wouldn't he weep? The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That's every one of us at one time. He came to seek and to save us. And his heart was broken because the people were there and they didn't fully understand him yet. And he was coming in to be their savior and he wanted them to know it. So he began to weep and he began to pray and began to cry over them. Now, some friends, the Bible said, began to gather around Jesus outside the city gates. When I read stories like this, I hope you're okay with this, Mike and Christine, but I like to read between the lines a little bit, okay? Because what were people thinking? I'm a human. The disciples are human. His friends were human. And who was there? Did Lazarus go with Jesus? I mean, he just raised Lazarus from the dead just, you know, a few days earlier. I think Lazarus was probably there. How about Mary Magdalene? I think she was there. Shouldn't bet in church. Well, I mean, we shouldn't bet at all, okay? But she was there. I just have to believe. Because, you know, he cast demons out of her. I think she was probably there. And blind Bartimaeus, who wasn't blind anymore, he was probably there. But this time he could see what was going on. Just didn't hear, but he could see. I mean, Jesus just touched so many lives. I just have to believe they were there. And we know that the 12 disciples were there. And then it happened. He was up above the city, and then it happened. He came into the city. And the crowds began to shout, and the earth began to shake, and they began to say in verse number 9 again, Hosea to the son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. The word Hosanna means, Lord, save us. Lord, we look back, they're living it. Lord, was this blasphemy or was Jesus who he said he was? That's the question. And the crowd was getting into an uproar. And there was so much praise, so much shouting going on that one of the Gospels actually used this word that the ground began to shake. And for shake, they used the Greek word, you'll know this word, seismic. on how they measure earthquakes. The earth was shaking because people were shouting and rejoicing so much. They didn't fully understand, but there was something different about Jesus. Have you understood? There's something different about Jesus. And then they laid their coats down, and the donkey walked on them. Just imagine what that might mean. And then they took the palm branches. This is why we have Palm Sunday. And they began to shake and wave. And this is a symbol from the Old Testament of victory and liberty and great joy. They were celebrating this life of Jesus. And I could just hear the children. Can't you just hear the children? Mom, Dad, what's going on? Why is all this happening? Who is this? And what were the parents telling their children about Jesus? What do you tell your children about Jesus? Because kids are asking. They're going to wonder what is going on. So, again, give me some liberty. At this point, Judas may have been thinking, finally, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom on earth. It's going to happen. Peter may have been walking with his chest out. You know, Peter, you know, he's just full of, you know, Peter. He's so much like us, isn't he? And you say, man, I'm with the man, okay? Simon the Zealot, the one disciple, he might have his hand on his sword and say, all right, finally I get to use this. And James and John may be thinking, oh, this is the day we get to sit at his right and sit at his left. Nobody knew what was going on. What in the world was going on? Did anybody know besides Jesus? This was an incredible day. Was Pilate watching? Another man calling himself a king other than Caesar? This could get out of control. This could be trouble. Would there be an uprising? And we know there were Roman soldiers all over the place trying to keep the crowd in control, and they're on their horses. Can't you hear the horses snorting and the soldiers waving their swords and just trying to keep everybody calm? This was just kind of a crazy day. And what were the soldiers thinking? What were the unbelieving parents telling their children? Today, what do unbelieving parents tell their children about Easter? What do they say? I don't know what they would say. You know, is Easter all about a rabbit, a bunny? Aren't you glad that you have some truth and you can tell your kids and grandkids the real meaning of what Easter is all about? But you know, the children were asking these questions. But no one in that crowd ever saw a day like that, that Jesus is worthy of praise. Second point that we see here is this, that Jesus is fully recognized as a Son of God. Oh man, he's a Son of God. And someone in the crowd asked the greatest question ever asked right here in verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? It's a great question. Who is this? That's a life-changing question. Your answer to that question is going to change your eternity. It's also going to change how you live on this earth. You know, when you follow Jesus now, he promised abundant life for us. He promised the fruit of the Spirit that we could have love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things in the midst of a world that's kind of crazy. Have you watched the news lately? But in the midst of it all, we can have peace because we have Jesus. Jesus is just not for heaven someday. He's for now. And this is what your answer to that question, who is Jesus, is all about. You know, we need to find out who he is by reading the Bible. And the Bible says he is the king. I'm going to get some water. You're drinking water. Why can't I drink water? Everybody with me. Yeah, good. All right. What's the Bible say? Go to the Bible. What's the Bible say? He is the King of Kings. There's nobody like him. He is Lord of Lords. He's greater than President Trump. He's greater than Iran. He's greater than them all. No matter who's in the White House, Jesus is on the throne. He's the one that's above all. And this is what they're trying to figure out that day. And I'm so thankful that a long time ago, I found out who he is. The Bible says also, he's the Alpha, the Omega. What does that mean? He's the A, he's the Z. He's the first, he's the last. He's the beginning, he's the end. And I'll tell you, the thing that just, in my mind, separates Jesus from everybody else is this. It's his eternalness. Is there such a word as eternalness? Being eternal. There is now, I just used it, eternalness. I'm eternal moving forward. I have no problem with that. I know that when I die, I'm going to live, okay? I'm just better off, you know, on the other side. And I'm going to live forever. I'm going to be with Jesus forever. I know, though, that I had a beginning. My beginning was, well, I'm not going to tell you because then you know how old Becky is. It was around 1975, give or take. And then I thought my dad had a beginning. That was 1922. And then my grandpa on my mom's side, he had a beginning. My grandpa Horner was born in 1875. My grandpa, 1875, Grant was president. So I would lay in bed, and I would middle school, high school, probably just what you guys did. You lay in bed and trying to figure out where God came from. So I could get back to 1875, and then I could get back to David. I could get back to Moses. I could get back to Abraham. I could get to Adam. But where in the world did God come from? I mean, it just blows me away. Everybody else has a beginning. God had no beginning. And then it dawned on me. If I can figure God out, he's a puny God. If I can figure God out with this brain, then he's not very big. There's just some things about God that you just have to take by faith. And I'm telling you what, God is the Alpha. He's the Omega. He always was. No beginning. That's what separates him from everybody else. That's why he's God and you're not and I'm not. He's God. Aren't you glad you know who God is? Okay. He's the healer, the Bible says. Man, my throat, Marcia. I must talk too much at home. I'm telling you what, at home, she's the talker. Okay. The Bible says he's a healer. He's a baptizer. He's a conqueror. He's a wonderful counselor. And never forget this, he is soon the returning king. He is coming back again. That's who Jesus is. That's what the Bible says. So who is Jesus? He's more powerful than any temptation you will ever face. A number of years, I was having a small group study with Tim and Jack. They're part of our church in Louisville. And we meet at the McDonald's on Harmont and 172. And Tim asked a question to Jack and me. And he said, tell me, guys, what sin do you have to commit? That's a really great question. You know what? I don't have to do any sin. But when we sin, it's because we choose to. But please understand this. Jesus is above every temptation. He's stronger than every temptation. There's no temptation taking us except what is common to man, and God will make a way of escape, and that way of escape is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just need to turn to him because he is greater than temptation. He's wiser than the devil. He's the king of the hill. Actually, the Bible doesn't say he's the king of the hill. I just kind of made that up, but he is. Did you ever play King of the Hill when you were a kid? Oh, come on. King of the Hill, you have this mound of something. It could be anything. And you get on top and you raise your hands and say, I'm the King of the Hill. Well, that's a challenge that everybody around you comes and tries to drag you down and to whoop you. And then they stand on top of the hill. And I'm the King of the Hill. And I learned a long time ago that the secret to that game is to play with people younger and smaller than you. Okay? But Jesus is the king of the hill. And people have been trying to drag him down. The devil's trying to drag him off that hill, but nobody can do it. They lose every time. Jesus wins every time. That's what the Bible says. So when they ask the question here on that day, on Palm Sunday, who is this man? He's the Son of God. That's who he is. The no rival, the song says. No equal, the song says. And that's what we're talking about. Who is this man? So let's ask a few people in the Bible. Hey, who's Jesus? Peter, Jesus one time. Hey, Peter, who do you say that I am, Peter? Jesus is asking. And in Matthew 16:16, Peter said, oh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's deep. Hey, John the Baptist, who's Jesus? And John looked over the water and he pointed and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you realize it's only Jesus that will take away your sins? It's only him. We sang about this morning. I never heard that one song. That was really good today. Really enjoyed that. Hey, John, who is Jesus? And John said, quote, he is the Word of God, the W. I mean, he's the eternal one. Hey, Thomas, who's Jesus? And Thomas, when he saw the nail prints in Jesus' hands, he says, he is my Lord and my God. Mary and Martha, who is Jesus? They called him Lord. This is who people around him, they understood who he was. But let's ask Jesus. Jesus, who are you? And Jesus said in John 10, verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. He said, I am equal with the Father. Jesus said, I am God himself. Pretty awesome. So let's ask God the Father. Hey, God Father, who is Jesus? And at Jesus' baptism, he said in Matthew 3:17, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The Father said, this is my Son. I love him. That's who Jesus is. How about we ask the Roman soldier who took the spear and rammed it in Jesus' side. Hey, soldier, who is Jesus? And he said in Matthew 27:54, surely he was the Son of God. The only problem with that, he used past tense. He was. Let me correct that. Surely he is the Son of God. He is, because he is alive today that you're going to celebrate here on Easter Day. So who is Jesus? The Bible says he's a friend that sits closer than a brother. Isn't that awesome? A friend that sits closer than a brother. I remember when I was in high school, I was at Varsity Isle. Varsity Isle was an ice cream stand in Louisville. It was down by the railroad tracks right on Main Street. Now there's a car wash there. But I was at Varsity Isle, and I was getting ice cream, okay? That's what you do when you're a teenager. And I had six guys jump me. They were going to whoop me. They had one mission. And that was to remove me from the face of the earth. And I often thought if they did that, poor Marsha would be just so lonely today, okay? But they were going to destroy me. And this never happened before. It never happened afterwards. But as these guys were getting ready to destroy me, my big brother Steve, I don't know why, he was supposed to be working. He came around the corner. And he heard what was going on, and he stood between those guys and me. He put his fingers. Steve's older. He's stronger. He likes pain. That's the kind of brother you want, man. And he stood there, and he put his finger in the guy's chest, and he said, if you want to fight somebody, you fight me. And when Steve was talking, I was getting taller and stronger. You know, I felt courage come into me. Those guys took off. But here's Jesus. He wants to fight for you. He wants to defend you. He wants to watch over you. He's there to take care of you. Whatever you need him to be, that's who he is. And that's what the Bible says. He's a friend that sits closer than a brother. He's a doctor when you're sick. And I know the sickness goes on, but I still know that Jesus heals. He heals today. He's still in that healing business. And when our son Nathan was like 2 years old, he was having issues, and the doctor, in one sentence, he did not have a bedside manner. In one sentence, he said, your son has cystic fibrosis, and he's going to die before he's 21 years old. Nathan is now 42 and strong as an ox, okay? That's what God can do, all right? God's amazing. But Jesus is just everything you need. But most of all, he's your Savior. He's your Savior. He's the only one that could save you. He's the only one through his blood we sang about this morning. And in the town, that city, that day, who is this? He's the Savior. That's more than anything else. That's who he is. And I'm so thankful for that. Jesus, Savior who died on the cross for our sins to give us eternal life. So who do you need Jesus to be today? Just consider it done. Consider it done, because that's who he is. Who is Jesus? And once you figure that out, what are you going to do about it? It's one thing to know. It's another thing to know. What are you going to do about it? And I read this a while back that the devil tried to deceive humanity. And he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make everyone think there's no hell. And when he made people think there was no hell, he won a few, but he wasn't satisfied. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make everybody think there's no heaven. And he won a few more, but he wasn't satisfied. So then he thought, I know what I'll do. I'll make everybody think they have plenty of time. And he won so many. You know, that's the problem with humanity. We think we have a lot of time. But who knows? Who knows? And not only that, man, you're just missing out. I'm so thankful that my parents raised me in church. They raised me to love Jesus. My greatest testimony is not that God saved me from drugs and he just saved me from alcohol and he saved me from all this and that and that. That's not my testimony. My testimony is God kept me from all that junk. I'm so thankful for that. But my life and my life with my wife is just special because we both love Jesus. And he brings peace and harmony in our home. And it's worth it to love the Lord. Yes, heaven. But right now, it's worth it. So what are you going to do about Jesus? Because who is this man? Well, Peter was right. He's the Son of the living God. That's who he is. You'll never go wrong turning to him. And then I want to look at one more point here this morning. As we close, and it's going to be a quick point. And let me just remind you that Jesus is coming again. Man, who do you want to see when you get to heaven? I want to see Jesus. But man, mom and dad, I have a granddaughter up in heaven. I have friends up in heaven. We all do, don't we? And we're going to see him. Those who love Jesus. Oh, man, it's going to be so awesome. But let me just tell you something very interesting. There's another Palm Sunday coming. And in my third point, now the worship team, you guys can feel free to come up. However you're going to do this. And in Revelation chapter 7, I was having my devotions this past week. Isn't it good to know I was having my devotions, okay? And I came across this scripture in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 9. Man, listen, this is a scene from heaven. Let me read this to you. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes. Now get this. And they were holding palm branches in their hands. Up in heaven, another Palm Sunday. And people are rejoicing in God. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. The scene in heaven, people rejoicing with palm branches. I'm telling you what, we're just going to be laughing and rejoicing, aren't we? I know there's praise and worship and all that, but part of that is just laughter. When my dad was just so excited about God, I remember so well, he would sit under the piano in our sanctuary at church, and he would just laugh. He would just laugh, rejoicing before the Lord. And that's what's going to be happening up in heaven, and someday we're going to be that. So the people in the streets on this day in Matthew 21, they're not the only ones that get to have fun. We're going to have fun someday as we get up to heaven and have the same kind of thing going on. But and in heaven, the question, who is this, is going to be answered once and for all. He's the one in authority over all. He's the one in authority over Satan. We think Satan's so powerful. Let me just remind you that Satan is not an equal power with Jesus, meaning he's bad and Jesus is good. They are not equal powers whatsoever. Jesus is so far above the power of Satan, so far above, that even on the last day, Jesus is just going to tell one of his angels, "Angel, now it's time just to throw Satan in the pit." I mean, he's so far above. We serve a powerful Savior. We serve a God who would not disappoint you. Sometimes it feels like he does, but you just hold on, because the song that we sing, I'm assuming you sing it here too, even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. He never stops. He never stops working. And in heaven, we're going to see him giving praise. But you know what? Today is the day to do that. Today is the day. He is without a doubt the Son of the living God. And someday he's going to return. And he's going to take us home. And the Apostle Paul said so beautifully in Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This tells us every human that ever lived is going to have to bow down and confess him, that he is the Lord. For some, it's too late. But for you and me, it's not too late if we do it now. Hitler is going to have to bow down and say, "No, you're Lord." Every president that ever sat in the U.S. is going to have to bow down and say, "Yeah, you are the one in charge. You're the one." But for you and I, if we do it now, we confess him with our lips. Man, heaven begins right now. Wow. That's what Palm Sunday is. We recognize who Jesus is. Would you close your eyes this morning, please? I want to ask this question before Pastor Mike comes up. What are you going to do with Jesus today? And by the way, a non-answer is an answer. What are you going to do with Jesus? He's not going to come riding into your home today on a donkey, but he will stand at the door of your heart and knock. Oh, would you let him in? And if you've already let him in, would you let him be the Lord of your life? Would you let him be in charge of every hard difficulty that you're facing? The Lord is here to help you. So with your eyes closed today, I'm going to look around because I want to know who to pray for. But if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to him, would you just lift your hand today and say, "Dan, would you pray for me?" Yeah, you can put your hand down. Anyone else here? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today for your love. On this Palm Sunday, we sit, we stand, and we say, "You are the Son of the living God." We thank you that we have known you and accepted you, and now, Lord, we're inviting you. For these that raise their hand today, ABC, we admit that we need a Savior. We believe that you are the Savior, and we confess you as our Lord. Lord, we're just asking you to finish the work in their lives. And Lord, for each one of us in this room today, we recognize that you are Lord and you are Savior and you are all that we need. You are above all in our life. There is no one like you. And today, Lord, I pray your blessing upon this church. Lord, I pray they would experience the fruit of the Spirit. I pray they would experience the gifts of the Spirit in this place. Lord, I pray that the best days for this church are from this day moving forward. Lord, that you're going to do amazing work here. Lord, that lives are going to be touched and changed. And this part of the city of Canton and around the surrounding areas are going to be touched because of the work of this church, of you in this church. God, just do amazing things here. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. God, just continue to minister in our lives. God, bring peace and hope and joy into us. And we thank you for it. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mike, would you come, please?
Thank you, Pastor Dan. Can we give just a show of appreciation for Pastor Dan this morning? Thank you. And if that was one of you who raised their hand, what I would ask you to do, don't leave here without grabbing something. We have a gift for you. It's just a book that's right out here in our VIP center, our resource center that we want to just bless. It's just following Jesus. And so we want to make sure that we connect with you and walk with you. And even if it's a rededication, if you're sitting here and as Dan asked, if you know Jesus, but you're just coming back to him in that way and rededicating your life, we want you to have that. We want you to grab that material, grab that book, because we want to make sure that we walk with you as a church. Church, would you stand with me as we close today? What an exciting day. What an exciting message. What a great, great question to ask. Who is this? Who is this? And so our prayer for you this week, for wherever you are, that you would ask that question and you would be contemplative to ponder, who is Jesus? Because it's all about him. And this week, I pray that he would reveal that to you in a new way, that you would draw close to him and reflect upon that. I'd love to see you on Wednesday back here at First Wednesday at 6, and I'd really love to see you Friday, 7 p.m. right here at Good Friday service. And let's come knowing and expecting as we come back into the house Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, rejoicing in the fact that he is a risen Savior. Amen. Amen. Church, let's just agree together. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, I just pray blessing upon these people. Those that are joining us online, I ask God that your spirit would be manifested throughout this week, God, and each and every one of us, that we would be reflective and contemplating, God, what does it mean to have you in our lives, what you're leading us to, what you're leading us as a church. Father, I pray, bless this body, bless Cross Point Church, that, Lord, that we would then begin to take, God, the good news out into our community, Father. Father, we ask, God, that you would just again bless those that are not here today. Let them have a great week. Bring us back, God, Wednesday, Friday, and then next Sunday, Lord. What an amazing, amazing thing to celebrate a risen Savior. Father, we just give you praise and we give you thanks, for it's in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen. Church, be blessed. We'll see you right back here Wednesday, Friday, and next Sunday. God bless, church.